guys, welcome into this edition, this Tuesday edition of the Daily Bills Wire podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. A lot to get to today as the Bills trade for wide receiver Corey Coleman out of the Cleveland Browns, a former Baylor Bear, to add some speed. So we're definitely going to get to that. And on this episode, we will be having Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate join me here in just a moment. We'll get to that. But first, I want to mention to make sure to head over to billswire.usatoday.com. Our staff has daily articles going up there all the time. And if you haven't subscribed yet to our podcast, make sure you do so you can get notifications when we post every day. So you can be the first to listen to what we've got going on. Or you can always go back to it wherever you are, in the car to and from work or at the airport or just at home and bored on the weekend and you want to go back to listen to an episode or an interview. We'll have all of that for you pretty much as you would all of your podcasts, that kind of on-demand content. We're having a blast doing this so far, and we hope you're enjoying it. But I want to get now to Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate. You probably follow him on Twitter, probably follow all of his work, doing great Bills coverage. And we're just really excited to get him on and get his take of how this Bills offseason is shaking out and how camp has been going so far, as we're only 2 days away from the Bills' first preseason game. So, Ryan, thank you so much for joining this podcast, first of all. Appreciate having you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Want to get to, obviously, a few items here coming up with the Bills, their first preseason game coming up Thursday evening against the Carolina Panthers. So, yeah, just want to get right to it and talk about the Corey Coleman signing. Just overall, what do you think of that move for the Bills? Pretty low risk?
Yeah, absolutely a low risk move. Like Brandon Bean said, they only had to send a seventh-round pick in the 2020 draft to acquire Corey Coleman. So it's not going, you know, it didn't cost the Bills much at all to get him. You're talking about a guy that in the 2016 draft was taken 15th overall. Now, was he the 15th best player in the draft? Probably not. But he has a lot of the intangibles that you look for in a wide receiver. Obviously can stretch the field. That's something that had to appeal to the Bills, considering that they have Josh Allen waiting in the wings as their eventual franchise quarterback. So, yeah, very low-risk signing. Wide receiver is obviously a position of need on paper. So adding a guy like Corey Coleman into the mix is very low-risk and very high reward.
And, yeah, you talked about his speed, you know, being able to stretch the field. And it seems like he's got a pretty wide array of where he can maybe slot in depth-wise with the team. It looks like he could be maybe as high as number two, depending on how the Bills view Jeremy Curley or Zay Jones, or he could, you know, maybe just be fighting for that 53-man roster spot. We heard Brandon Bean this morning talk about, you know, him just coming in and trying to compete because nothing's really given to any of these guys. They want to go out and earn it, but on paper, this has to look like a guy more in line with a starter potential.
Oh, yeah, absolutely has starter potential. As they're easing him in here in the preseason, even early in the season, the important thing is getting him on the field and getting him out in open space. And that's something that Brian Daboll is going to have to sit down and say, okay, how can I best utilize this player? Feature him as a weapon until he's comfortable with the playbook, comfortable with the offense. So whether that's putting him in the backfield on some kind of gadget plays, whether that's just getting him the ball quick on the screen and getting him out there in open space, whatever the case may be, he has that speed and that ability to break away from players that not a lot of guys necessarily have in this league. So that'll be the first thing, is as he's working his way up the depth chart, just getting him on the field and getting him plays where you can utilize him on offense, because that's what you want. You want playmakers, you want your best 11 players out there on offense, and if he's someone that you think can do damage with the ball in his hands, then you have to find ways to get him involved early on with the Bills.
Yes, definitely. I think it definitely fills a need, and Brandon Bean, again, making trades in August, you know, trying to reshape the roster, you know, right up, I think, to opening kickoff. It should be a possibility for him to pull the trigger again. And just one of those guys, we'll just flip over to the defense real quick to ask about one player. Just your take on kind of Shaq Lawson's year. I just kind of wanted to bring up with your take on some of these different guys on the team, and Shaq being one of those where this is a crucial year for him. Do you see the Bills using him in more in a predominant role, or is he potentially, you know, also going to be shuffled out of Buffalo eventually?
You know, entering training camp, I would have said he's a guy that was on the bubble, as someone that you could have traded. But Trent Murphy, a free agent that they signed here in the offseason, has been dealing with a groin injury. He's coming off of an ACL tear. You don't necessarily want to get rid of a Shaq Lawson if the guy that you brought in is already dealing with a new injury and still coming back from an ACL injury. Lawson himself, I could see him rotating with Trent Murphy at that one defensive end spot across from Jerry Hughes.
Sure.
And to Lawson's credit, he had a very good day at camp today by all reports. As a pass rusher, batting down some passes, getting it to the quarterback. And he's also been featured a few times here in camp, being moved around a little bit on the defensive line. Lined up as a defensive tackle and getting into the backfield and having success in that regard. So that maybe he won't be a three-down starter, because obviously they really like Trent Murphy and what he brings to the table. But I think they're going to try to find ways to get Shaq Lawson involved. And I do think he ends up making this roster, and I don't think that they will end up trading him, especially, like I said, because of the injuries that have been hampering Murphy here early on in training camp.
Yeah, and they like to rotate their defensive linemen a lot, too. Just your take, Ryan, and just kind of your overall, I guess, 40,000-foot overhead view of just the defense on this team, and, you know, where you think it could go. Do you think that this roster, this set of talent on the defensive side could be, you know, one of the tops in the league?
You know, I think you're going to see big strides this season in terms of the defense. I'm not sure if we can say top five defense, even top 10 defense at this point, because we need to see how they handle the run defense, which was their Achilles heel last year. Obviously, they addressed that by bringing in Star Latulale, by bringing in Harrison Phillips in the draft. Both of those guys are known for their run defense, drafting Tremaine Edmonds. So they obviously added some pieces there that they think can help improve that. But in this league, they have to be able to stop the run, so that way you're putting those opposing defenses in those third and long situations. If the offense also struggles this year, well, then the defense is going to be on the field more and more, and that's something where over the course of a game they're going to get tired out. So, you know, believe it or not, I feel like the offense is going to play a big role in how successful the defense is this year, because the defense needs to stay fresh over the course of four quarters. And like you said, yeah, Sean McDermott and the Bills like to rotate their defensive ends, keep guys fresh, but there's only so much of that you can do if your offense isn't moving the ball and going up and down the field. So I think the talent's there to make big strides this year on the defensive side of the ball, but a lot of it will come down to how long the offense can stay on the field.
And we'll, I guess, get to now kind of the biggest topic, I think, that a lot of people are talking about in camp, and that's the quarterback position, of course. Where do you see it when you are asked about the position, and what you've kind of observed and what reports coming out of camp so far? Where do you think this is headed come week one?
Well, you know, Brandon Bean kind of showed his cards a little bit, where he said, okay, after the first preseason game, we'll reshuffle the depth chart if needed, whether that means moving Josh Allen up to the second team, whether that means A.J. McCarron or Nathan Peterman taking over that first string role and not rotating it, whatever the case may be. Right now, even for the first depth chart for this preseason game, they listed McCarron and they listed Peterman as the first string together, first string quarterback, that is, together. So
right.
I really think that they're going to wait and see how the quarterbacks perform against a different defense, see how the chemistry is. I could see A.J. McCarron getting the first quarter, and I could see them keeping the starters out there for the first series or two with Nathan Peterman as well in the second quarter, at least certain players. I don't think you're going to see LeSean McCoy or anything like that necessarily, but
makes sense.
Some starters, to see what the two quarterbacks can do with similar personnel. Because, like you said, there was nothing to A.J. McCarron getting 2 days in a row with the first string offense, and there was nothing with Nathan Peterman starting with it at the scrimmage there on Friday. It's simply the rotation of snaps, how they had it set up. Time will tell, but I think that performances here on Thursday night against the Panthers is going to go a long way in determining who starts the second preseason game,
mm-hmm.
and whoever starts that could obviously get a stranglehold on the position if they perform well in back-to-back preseason games.
And you mentioned their opponent, the Carolina Panthers, obviously, you know, quarterbacked by Cam Newton. Kelvin Benjamin had some comments about his time in Carolina to The Athletic, thinking that he shouldn't have been drafted there or thought it was a poor fit to go to Carolina. It seems like the Bills have addressed it internally and talked with him about that to kind of squelch any potential distractions. What did you make of it? Do you think it's a big deal kind of going into this first game?
I don't think it'll be a big deal going into Thursday's game. I mean, obviously, it creates a little bit of a tense or awkward situation for Benjamin when he sees a lot of his former teammates, especially Newton in that regard. But, you know, he was venting. He said he just had that on his chest for a while. You know, there was a lot of ill will, it sounds like, towards the Panthers organization. And obviously, the comments towards Cam Newton were also very negative as well. But here's a guy that a few years ago when he came out into the draft, he said that he tanked his 40 time so that he could get drafted by the Panthers. And, you know, things don't always work out in this league. And Cam Newton is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. But there's a lot of things that he does very well. That's the reason he's been an MVP in this league before and why the Panthers have had a lot of success at least getting to the playoffs. So it may not have been an ideal situation, but I think this is just a case of it sounds like he was very frustrated, and like you said, the Bills already seem like they've handled it internally. It doesn't seem like something that that McDermott, that Brendan Bean want players to be out there spouting off about their former teams. They want these players to focus on the here and now and their time with Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, definitely that's the mindset and approach of this regime. Looking toward Thursday's game, Ryan, what should fans be looking for beyond, obviously, probably zoning in on the quarterbacks? What storylines in this game or players or battles that you'll be paying attention to, that fans should be paying attention to if they can watch?
Well, I mean, first, watching the offensive line, seeing how they mesh together, because that is going to look a lot different from 1 year ago. Obviously, Vlad Dacoste started the majority of the season at right guard, but he's going to be flipped to left guard, so you have a new left guard. You're going to have a new center, whether it be Ryan Groy or Russell Bodine, and then you're going to have John Miller back at right guard. So the interior of that offensive line is being shuffled from one season ago. And it looks like, you know, they said not to read into the quarterback situation, but it looks like Ryan Groy might have a little bit of a lead in the center competition, getting some of those first-team reps or a few more first-team reps. So can he put a stranglehold on that position in the preseason game or opener here against the Panthers? That's one thing there. Two, do any of the wide receivers at the bottom of the roster stand out as they try to fight and claw for one of those final spots on the roster? I think that Buffalo's draft picks, Austin Prohl and Ray McLeod, have been inconsistent in camp. I think that Robert Foster's kind of fallen off after a strong spring and early start to training camp. They've had a Cam Phillips, who's also played well as an undrafted free agent. So those are a few guys there on the bottom fighting for spots, but there's also guys like Rod Streeter, who's had a great preseason in camp last year, who's going to be fighting for one of those six or seven spots, depending on how many they carry. So there's a lot of intriguing players there, and there's only so many spots to carry them. So who stands out in that regard? Obviously, like you said, the quarterbacks are what to watch. Does Josh Allen get the entire second half? I think that could be good for him, seeing him out there, obviously, against mostly third string, maybe a few second string guys on the Panthers early on in the second half. But how many snaps does he get, and how does he handle his first game with the Bills? Defensively, obviously, you want to see how the run defense looks. And again, you don't want to read too much into the preseason. It's usually a pretty vanilla offense versus base defenses. But you still want to see how Star Lapuile looks in his role, how Harrison Phillips handles his first career game with the Bills, stuff like that. And obviously, Tremaine Edmonds is a guy that fans have been following a lot here at training camp, playing very well. Last week had back-to-back days with interceptions. So, you know, the draft picks as well, I think that's going to be a major storyline. How do they all handle their first professional preseason game?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, kind of as we wrap up, just what do you expect from this team overall? We hope to have you on maybe, you know, definitely during the season again, and kind of reassess and recalibrate from our conversation today. But just kind of going in now, we haven't seen any preseason games, so not to put you too much on the spot, but what do you really kind of expect out of the Buffalo Bills in 2018?
Well, I see them taking a little bit of a step back this year. I'm not sure if you can get back to 9-7 with the quarterback room that they currently have. And mind you, few people expected them to have 9 wins last season. Sean McDermott and the team exceeded all expectations. So it's very possible that he does it in his second season as well. But with the quarterback room, with the fact that they have such a tough schedule at the start of the year, I see them falling back a little bit. I see them in that 6-7 win range. I think the defense keeps them in a lot of games. I think the offense surprises in a few. There's always a few games where you don't expect the team to win necessarily, and they surprise you a little bit. So that could happen early in the year, whether it's AJ McCarron and Nathan Peterman at the helm. But the big thing this year is, how does Josh Allen develop from his first start of the season to his last start of the season? Whether he takes over in week 4, week 8, week 10, whatever the case may be, when he inserts himself into the lineup from his first game to his last game, is there progress there? Are there signs that, okay, this guy is our franchise guy, we know that next year he is the number one quarterback without a doubt? Does his play say to potential free agents, this is a landing spot where I want to go, or this is a team where I want to go? Because the Bills are going to have cap space, a lot of cap space next offseason.
They will.
And Kelvin Benjamin might leave as a free agent. Obviously, they brought in Corey Coleman, who still has 2 years left on his rookie contract. But you want to surround him with as much talent as possible, and that could mean going out and signing a high-priced free agent on the market. But, you know, money can only go so far with some of these players. They want to go to a winning situation. They want to go to a team where they know they can get the ball early and often, and that's going to play a big role. You know, Josh Allen's play is going to play a big role in whether or not some of these players may want to come here next season. So I see him falling back, but like I said, if you see progress from Josh Allen's first start to his last start, I think that you call this season a success, no matter how many wins this team has, because then going forward, you have your franchise quarterback, and that's the most important piece in today's NFL.
Correct. And you did, you know, bring up a great point of all of the cap space the Bills have to play with this offseason, really getting all of those bad contracts off the books with a lot of cleanup duty. You know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have done a lot of that so far. And so, it will be an interesting season. I guess my last question for you, Ryan, is there maybe an unsung hero, maybe a player that not a lot of people are really paying attention to this year that, you know, just might jump up and surprise people and pleasantly, you know, either take a hold of a starting spot or just become, you know, that Pro Bowl player? I'm thinking of a guy like Deion Dawkins or something like that, kind of emerging. Is there someone that you see maybe kind of emerging as a great young player for this team?
Yeah, I think you answered it with Deion Dawkins. I think that he improved as the season went on. I think he was actually pretty strong early on in the year, too. But as the season wore on, he got better and better. Obviously, the Bills felt very comfortable trading away Cordy Glenn, saying that this is our guy at left tackle of the future. So I think that he's a guy. You know, if you want an under-the-radar player that's maybe even further away from that, I would say John Miller at right guard. Here's a guy that made big strides from year one to year two, but then last year dealt with an ankle issue, lost the job to Vlad Dacoste, really trained hard this offseason, a lot of the time with LeSean McCoy. Looks like he's in great physical shape, has that low center of gravity where it's hard to knock him over. Eric Wood said something on social media that in one-on-ones, John Miller is very difficult to, you know, to defeat in those types of drills. So I think he's a guy that could really bounce back, too. I'm not going to say Pro Bowl necessarily, but I could see him getting his career back on track this season with the Bills.
Great. Well, Ryan, we really enjoyed this conversation. We'll definitely want to have you back on the podcast at a later date. You can follow Ryan at Ryan Talbot Bills on Twitter. And we really appreciate all your work. And you can find all of it where? At New York Upstate, correct?
NewYorkUpstate.com, yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, no, we really appreciate having you on. And we'll be in touch again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.